Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference. So today's class will be given by His Grace Jayananda Gauranga Prabhu on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 24 and verse number 343 onwards. Jayananda Gauranga Prabhu, are you present on the call?
Yes, Mataji, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you very much for joining Mataji, I mean Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. And thank you very much for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. I now hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Please take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Dhanavad Pranam. Hare Krishna.
Dhanavad Pranam.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalagaya Chakshurum Ningitam Yena Tasmai Shri Kurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Surpatantikam Mandeyaham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Sagunathan Vithamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vithamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shri Mate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Namacharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayini Dhauragata Dhamadaya Nagragahamatharini Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Vishtarini Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela 24.343. Sarvatra Pramana Vibhe Purana Vachana Shri Murti Vishnu Mantira Karana Lakshana. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Whatever you say about Vaishnava behavior, the establishment of Vaishnava temples and deities, and everything else, should be supported by evidence from the Puranas. So I offer my humble obeisances unto all the Vaishnavas present in this teleconference. Vancha kalpatrubhyascha kripa sindubhyaya cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So in this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Sanatana Goswami here that whatever you say about Vaishnava behavior, the establishment of temples and deities, that it should be supported by evidence from the Puranas. So there will be three learning objectives for this morning. The first one is, why does one need to be authorized to comment about Vaishnava behavior? The second learning objective for this verse is, what does it mean by pramana or the basis? The third learning objective here is, why is evidence needed for making statements? So let's start with the first learning objective here. So why does one need to be authorized to comment about Vaishnava behavior? So Vaishnava literatures, they are not mental concoctions. They are all authorized literatures meant to guide those who are going to be Vaishnavas. So under these circumstances, an ordinary man cannot give his own opinion. So let's take one two examples here. So first example, let's take Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he has written many, many, he's contributed in many literature, but the conclusions of what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written is not different from the conclusions of the message of the Vedas or the previous spiritual masters. So that means that whatever Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written, the message is not different from what has been provided by the Vedas. We'll take another example here. If we take a look at the philosophical messages given by the Aarvar Singhs of the Sri Vaishnava lineage, even though they may have also been written in a regional language, but the message is not contradictory to the purpose of the Vedic scriptures. So in a sense, they are offering the same meaning. So now comes the question, so when we say that when we speak that the message should not be contradictory to the message of the, when someone is making a comment, it should not be contradictory to the purpose of the Vedic scriptures, what does the word scripture mean? So Madhvacharya, he quotes a verse from Harivamsa Purana, and I also find this quote also in Garuda Purana actually. In, he cites this in a scripture that he had written called Mahabharata Tatparya Nirnaya. Because the Mahabharata is so big and it is so complex that a highly authentic commentary was needed at the time, and Madhvacharya wrote this called as the Mahabharata Tatparya Nirnaya. It usually starts with the Ramayana, a commentary on the Ramayana called the Ramayana Tatparya Nirnaya, and then it moves on to as a commentary on the Mahabharata called the Mahabharata Tatparya Nirnaya. So he cites there, and Prabhupada cites this in several verses in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as well. It's this verse comes in different occasions. Vede Ramayane cha Purane Bharate tatha adau madhye cha antye cha hari sarvatra giyate. So if you take the Vedas, Vede, that means in the Vedas, so what are the Vedas? You have the Brahmanas, you have the Aryankas, you have the Upanishads, you have the Samhitas. So you have over 1,000 of each of these. So you have the Vedas, and then you have the Ramayana. So Ramayana is the Moola Ramayana, the Ramayana that was written by Sage Valmiki, that has 24,000 verses in it. Purani is all the Puranas. So here when we talk about the Puranas, we're talking about the Sattvika Puranas, those in the mode of goodness. You have the Puranas, and then you have the subsidiary Puranas, the smaller ones, you know, but the main Puranas are 18. Six are in the mode of goodness, six are in the mode of passion, six are in the mode of ignorance. So the mode of goodness Purana, if you take, for example, the Bhagavatam, is in the mode of, is counted in the first six, and then you have the Vishnu Purana, the Padma Purana, Garuda Purana. So these are all in the mode of goodness. So these Puranas, they are not contradictory to the message of the Vedas. Then you have Mahabharatam, which is 96,000 verses that are present in this earth, and then you have more number of verses in higher planetary systems and so on. So here, what is it said in this verse? Vede Ramayana cha Purane Bharate tatha adau madhye cha antye cha hari sarvatra giyate. So whether it's in the beginning, Adi in the beginning, madhye cha in the middle, antye cha in the end, hari sarvatra giyate, everywhere Krishna is being sung, and that is the central message of all the scriptures. Whatever you take, whether you take the Upanishad, whether you take the Samhitas, whether you take Ramayana, Puranas, Mahabharata, whatever we take, Krishna is being sung everywhere, whether it's in the middle, in the beginning, in the end, everywhere Krishna is being sung, and that is the central message. So this is what is, so we just wanted to define what are scriptures, and by scriptures, we mean the different branches of the Vedas, Ramayana, Purana, Mahabharata, all these are scriptures. So now comes the question, are all the descriptions by the Vaishnavas, are they the authorized ones? So if we look at, so if we look at, if this is not that hard to understand here, because when we look at the different commentaries of the Vedanta Sutra, so the Vedanta Sutra has about, has four chapters. It was written by sage Vedavyasa himself as a summary of all the different Vedas, but it needed commentary for people to understand. So different Vaishnava, different acharyas, they have written commentaries. There is one who, one commentary which is which doesn't fall under the Vaishnava platform in entirety, and that is the one written by Shankaracharya, and that is called Sharirika Bhashya. And that is the commentary used by the Mayavadis later. And then you have all the other five existing commentaries, commentaries that are available right now. Ramanujacharya wrote the Sri Bhashya. Then you have the Madhva Bhashya written by Madhvacharya. We have the Parijata Saurabha, also called Vedanta Parijata Saurabha, written by Nimbarkacharya. And then you have the Anubhashya, Pallabhacharya, who comes in the lineage of Vishnu Swami. He's written the Anubhashya. Then we, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very specific that a commentary is not needed. Bhagavatam is a self-explanatory, is a natural commentary, Arthoyam Brahma Sutranam, that the natural commentary of the stream of the Vedanta Sutra is the Srimad Bhagavatam itself. And since it's the most mature fruit of the Vedanta Sutra, and so Mahaprabhu was very specific that it's not even needed. A commentary is not needed because we have to explain. So we will have, so there is no need for a commentary when the author himself has written a commentary. Artoyam Brahma Sutranam, the commentary of the Brahma Sutra itself is Srimad Bhagavatam. But then out of necessity, we had our sampradaya, we did have to write a commentary. Commentary, and it was written by Sri Baladeva Vidyabhushana, and it's called the Govinda Bhashya. So if you look at all these Vedanta Sutra commentaries, they predominantly, they're all different Vaishnava commentaries. They're all the four Vaishnava Sampradayas. We have five commentaries. They're all Vaishnava commentaries. And there is one, of course, which is now sort of non-denominational in the Sharirika Bhashya. But then, so what we understand here is, in order to understand and interpret the Vedanta Sutra, the Vaishnava literature is not contradictory with that of the Vedanta Sutra. But any other interpretations, if they run contradictory to the Vedanta Sutra, then they are not authorized. So that is why Mahaprabhu is very specific here that whatever you cite, it has to be based on the revealed scriptures, on the scriptures. Whether, and we'll talk about, he uses the word Purana here, and we'll talk about that also pretty soon. So what happens when someone is not authorized to compose? So then it results in what is called as mental speculation. So mental concoctions may be very harmful to the society, as there are people who would take up these speculations, given the calamitous nature of the world. Okay, so because the world, by nature, dukkhalayam ashashvatam, so we have miseries and calamities all over, and that is a necessity in this world, because otherwise many people are not going to go towards Krishna, because they'll be satisfied in living, taking part in this, in the illusory existence, and hence they will be okay with it, and they're not really going to move towards Krishna, and hence miseries is an essential part of this, of the material manifestation, and hence it is there. So given the calamitous nature of the world, there are many mental speculators who are able to offer different kind of program for the general public. And these people are called as Pashandi. Pashandi means a bogus counterfeit who is not following an authorized scripture, who is not giving any real means for a person to cross the ocean of material existence. So that, and so there is a serious risk here that if somebody who is not authorized is composing, that means that those people are called Pashandi, and there is a big risk here of many people following these so-called mental speculators, and they won't get any relief out of the material existence. So Mahaprabhu here is warning that such propensities So any such propensities to write anything, to compose anything, such teaching must be substantiated by authorized scriptures. So what does this mean? So this means that one cannot write on spiritual matters without being blessed by Krishna and the disciplic succession of the gurus. So the blessings of the authorities are one's power of attorney. So if you need power to write something, that means blessings are needed. So this is seen by and large. So people around, if you see the behavior of the Vaishnavas, they don't start writing something randomly. They usually have instructions from spiritual masters. They have instructions from authorized Vaishnavas. They have instructions. So Krishna Krishna, through different means, he provides them instructions. So even when Krishnadas Kaviraj here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when he has written, he did not like randomly start writing. There were specific reasons and instructions through which by which a Vaishnava acts in a certain way and writes a scripture. So one should not try to write anything about Vaishnava behavior and activities without being authorized by superior authorities. So what does this mean? This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Yevam Parampara Praptim Imam Radarashyo Vidu. So this means that through a disciplic succession, one is authorized to write a scripture or not. So that means that even when we write something, we have to understand how much what we are writing is going to be in contradiction with what is being written by our spiritual masters. How is it contradictory to what is being told by our spiritual master or Prabhupada or by Krishna? What is contradictory to what is written in the Vedas? Because there is no difference in the writings of our spiritual masters and what is there in the Vedas. So this actually is being confirmed. So there is an authorized, we have a poet, authorized poet Kavikarnapura, who is in our lineage. So and he has written a book actually called Chaitanya Chandrodaya. It's like a play act. And this book tells us how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed Sanatana Goswami with a special mercy. So Sanatana Goswami, when he started writing, so here is the instruction. So all the previous verses that was done in this chapter after the Atmarama verse, the 64 meanings were given. Sanatana Goswami asked Mahaprabhu specifically, so what should I do? You had given me this direction that I should write about the Vaishnava etiquette, the Vaishnava behavior, how to establish what are the regulative principles in devotional service. So how am I to do it? So can you give me some specific instructions? So so it's not like Krishnadas Kaviraj wrote this. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he wrote this, but then this is also confirmed by another Vaishnava saying, Kavikarnapura, in Chaitanya Chandrodaya, how Mahaprabhu blessed Sanatana Goswami with a special mercy, and by which, and then Sanatana Goswami started on this work. So if we look at the biographies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are so many of them. So it's not like, and some of them are so huge in size that it's not that anybody can come and write something. Who would want to spend so many months or years to write a biography of someone? It's not like everybody is able to do those kind of things, but there are so many such biographies because of the love that people have shown to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are so many biographies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Bhagavata was written by Vrindavan Das Thakur. It was first called as Chaitanya Mangala. But then later, there was another book written by called as Chaitanya Mangala by Lochanadas Thakur. And hence there was like a big, so there was a confusion later in Vrindavan. So people, all the leading Vaishnavas at the time, including Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, they all met together and then they all decided that the book written by Srila Vrindavanadas Thakur will be called as Chaitanya Bhagavata. And then the book written by Lochanadas Thakur will be called as Chaitanya Mangala. But then when we look at all these books, they all have their own ways of presenting the biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is a comprehensive text in the Adi Leela, Madhya Leela. It has pastimes, it has philosophy, it explains the different mellows, it has historical context, it has his activities. There are so the theology, the philosophy, there are so many things in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then if you look at the Chaitanya Bhagavata, it's full of descriptions. There are so many descriptions in Chaitanya Bhagavata. It's almost, I think, twice the size here in terms of the number of verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then Chaitanya Mangala is a very different kind of a book, because when we read it, we see the mellows being given there by Lochanadas Thakur. So many rasas and mellows in every activity and pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes for beginners, it's very hard to read that, and so it's not like it's everybody can start with the Chaitanya Mangala, because it's very detailed in terms of the mellows experienced by the associates and by Mahaprabhu. And so, and that Chaitanya Mangala is also not concocted, it's not randomly written, because it is based on, and it was, and his spiritual master was Narahari Thakur, you know, and he gave the orders for Murari Gupta, sorry, for Lochanadas Thakur to write the Chaitanya Mangala, and he based it on another scripture called Krishna Chaitanya Charitra Mahakavya, and that was a book written by Murari Gupta, and he was a personal intimate associate of Mahaprabhu, and he was a physician, and so he based it on that. And then we see another book, Chaitanya Chandrodaya, that was written by Kavi Karnapura, and then we have Chaitanya Chandramrita, and that was written by an acharya called Prabodhananda Saraswati. So he was the uncle of Gopala Bhatta Goswami, who was one of the six Goswamis, and he was also the brother of Venkata Bhatta. So this Chaitanya, so if we look at each of these scriptures, none of them have been written without authorization. Somebody has authorized them in the disciplic succession and given them. And all these books, they have been read by the Vaishnava Acharyas. They have been, it is so much of, there are so many commentaries about these books. So it's not written by anybody's whims. So somebody just not think, okay, this is how Mahaprabhu was, and then they wrote something. And they have been written based on confidential pastimes maintained by the personal servants of Mahaprabhu. Like, If we just want to see a little little flavor here of what is, let's take a look here at Chaitanya Chandramrita. So this is a Sanskrit work written by Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati. And so Prabodhananda Saraswati has done some outstanding contributions in for the Gauri Vaishnava literature. In addition to Chaitanya Chandramrita, he also wrote a big treatise called as Vrindavana Mahimamrita. It has so many verses explaining the glories of the holy place, Vrindavan. So if we look at Chaitanya Chandramrita, so there is this one verse which I will cite just to explain the differences in how the commonality between these scriptures and how the expression of love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was seen by one and all, by all those who wrote the biographies of Mahaprabhu. So he writes there in one of the verses, I don't remember the exact verse number, I think it's like 93 or something verse, and where he says, Samsara Sindhu Dharane Hridayam Yadishyat Sankirtanamritarase Ramade Manaschet Premambudo Viharane Yadi Chittavritish Chaitanya Chandra Charanam Charanam Prayadhu. So here he says, Samsara Sindhu. Samsara Sindhu is ocean of material existence. So if you want to, Samsara Sindhu Tarane, Tarane means to cross. Hridayam Yadishyata. So if your heart wishes to cross the ocean of material existence, Sankirtana Amrita. So Rase. So if you want to float in the mellows of Krishna Sankirtan, Nama Krishna Nama Sankirtan, if you want to constantly float in the mellows of Krishna Nama Sankirtan, Ramate, that means to enjoy in the Krishna Nama Sankirtan, Manas Cheta, so that means if your mind wants to be always floating in the mellows of Krishna Nama Sankirtan, Premambudo Viharane, Yadi Chitta Vrittish, so if your consciousness wants to always reside in the ocean of love of Krishna, Chaitanya Chandra Charanam Sharanam Prayathu, please surrender unto the lotus feet of the moon-like Chaitanya, unto the Sri Chaitanya Chandra. So in this way, so we can see the mellows which are exhibited by the different devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabodhananda Saraswati, so in this way, all of them, none of them randomly say anything. So when Mahaprabhu had visited the Srirangam temple, he stayed there for Chaturmasya for the 4 months. At that time, the Gopal Bhatta Goswami was like a young boy at the time, and then we had the different, and then Venkata Bhatta was a head priest at the time in the Srirangam temple, and then his older brother Prabodhananda Saraswati, when they saw the symptoms exhibited by Mahaprabhu, and that was causal in Gopala Bhatta Goswami then moving north towards Vrindavan, and then he helped Sanatana Goswami to compile this book, Hari Bhakti Vilasa. So by reading all these instructions, Sanatana Goswami, so he says that one will become fully aware of Lord Krishna of various expansions and process of the devotional service according to the regulative principles and spontaneous love. And thus everything will be fully known. So that means, so by carefully analyzing the scriptures, one can understand what are Krishna's various expansions, how should devotional service be done, how should the regulative principles, that is Vaidhi Bhakti, be done, and then about Raghavanutta Bhakti, about spontaneous love, and how everything can thus be fully known. So with that, I will end the first learning objective of this particular translation, which is who is and who isn't authorized to comment about Vaishnava behavior. So we'll go to the second aspect of this translation here. So why is Mahaprabhu saying that you need a basis? A basis means pramana. Pramana means basis. So why is a basis needed? So why can't, even though Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, the primordial personality of Godhead, but he still says that you have to base it on the conclusions of scriptures. So the basis for any conclusion by the philosophers, we commonly cite three methods. One is called as pratyaksha, which is perception, and then anumana, which can be hypothesis, induction, deduction, so that is anumana. And then you have a third method, which is shruti, okay, shabda, that is the words of the Vedas. So either by perception we can understand what the philosophers say, anumana, which is the induction, by method of induction, deduction, hypothesis, whatever you want to say, and then it is shruti, the words. So, but then our Sampradaya Acharya Baladeva Vidyabhushana, he wrote the Govinda Bhashya, but then he also added that with something called the Vedanta Samantaka. So in this book, he gives more ways by which this can be expanded. So he expands on the thesis. If you want to write a thesis on the Vedas and the best evidence for understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he expands on these three. So even though we commonly cite only these three and say how Shruti is what the Gaudiya Vaishnavas say, Pratyaksha, Anumana, and Shruti. So there, Baladeva Vidya Bhushana, he says, Tadevam Sarvataha Shrestha Shabdasya. So that is, he says, even though out of all the Shabdasya, the Shruti, or the words, is the most Shrestha, which is the best of all. But he says there are many ways to know what the truth is. And what are they? Number one, pratyaksha, which means direct perception. And Prabhupada, in so many verses, in many, many Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, we have already rejected perception, given that the sense perception is faulty by nature, given that it has already been getting, it is under the material platform, and we need to move into the spiritual platform. So anything God in the material platform is going to be defective by nature. And so pratyaksha is being rejected throughout. It's not like we say something that's throughout our Gaudiya Vaishnava lineage, it has been rejected from the beginning. As the best way of knowing what is truth. The second one is anumana. So you can call anumana here as inference. It can mean hypothesis, deduction, induction. So if you say induction, then it means that if it works for, it has worked for this person X, it has worked for the person Y, it has worked for person C, so that means it must be working for everybody else. So this is by method of induction. So, but it may work, it may not work. So that's the problem with the hypothesis driven studies. And then because there is always a room for error. And then the third one is shabda, which is the words of authorities. So that's what Mahaprabhu is saying here, quoted based on evidence of the scriptures. Then Baladeva Vidyabhushana, he also says a fourth method here, which is called as arthapati, which means interpretation. So interpretation is being widely done by philosophers, and that is why Prabhupada writes his book there as Bhagavad Gita as it is. That means that there is no interpretation. Whatever Krishna says, we say that as it is. I'll give you an example here of how interpretation can be dangerous. So for example, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that Aham Sarvasya Prabhu. That means that Krishna is the greatest of all. So, and then that can be interpreted by someone else by saying Krishna is coming from Kshirodakasai Vishnu as an expansion. He comes in this planet. So why can Krishna be an expansion of why can Vishnu? So Vishnu is the greatest of all. Somebody can say that means Narayana is the greatest of all. Somebody can then say, okay, so Narayana is also spirit, and so why can't it just mean Brahman or spirit is the greatest of all? And then somebody else would say, okay, if that is spirit, even I am spirit, the spirit, because it is said that the individual soul is spirit by nature. So by interpretation, we mean that I am the material jiva. Sorry, the jiva who is embodied in this material body himself is the greatest of all. So in this way, when by interpretations can be very dangerous. So when Krishna says Aham Sarvasya Prabhu, that can get interpreted in so many ways and lead to dangerous interpretations at the end. So that is the next one which has been rejected. And then the next one is Anupalabdhi. Anupalabdhi means negative inference. Oh, if that is not the way things are, so that means that this must be correct. So negative inference is not, so when you say that it's not, so when it is not all this, then it must be something else. So that is again another dangerous way of concluding what is the truth. The next way Baladeva Vidyabhushana says of finding the truth here is called Sambhava, which means the laws of probability. Okay, so there is so much probability that the earth formation was in this way. There is so much probability that the man was formed, the man evolved in a certain way. So this is probability, and that again is faulty. And then the last one which Baladeva Vidyabhushana says here is history. So itihasa, so history is also, so historically it has happened for that person, this person, this person. So by historical precedence, so we say that this is the truth, and even that can be faulty. So in this way, Baladeva Vidyabhushana says, Shreshta Shabdasya. So of all these methods arriving at the truth, Shabda, that is hearing from the authorities, is the best. So the best source of the Vedic knowledge is of the absolute truth is called Shruti, which means the revealed truth received from the Vedic authority. Different scholars also entertain different opinions about reality, but the Vedic Shastras are eternal and they are transcendental. Moreover, they are free from the four defects of material existence. And why are they free from the four defects of material existence? Because they have sprung directly from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, they are the best evidence for knowing the absolute truth. And that is why in this particular translation, Mahaprabhu here is saying that you need to support it by evidence. So even here, like even among the different other Vaishnava Sampradayas, if we take the Madhvacharya, they also accept the other two Pramanas. For example, in terms of logic, in terms of whether it's Pratyaksha and Anumana, in addition to scriptures, as long as it does not contradict the scriptures, we can also take Pratyaksha and Anumana there. So, but the problem, so that is why if you see in the Madhva lineage, there is a heavy weightage that's been given to Mahabharata, which means that because Mahabharata deals with many, many mundane topics, and there are so many material, logical things presented there, those in the Madhva lineage, they're also called Tattvavadis. And so the Tattvavadis, so that means that they are heavily weighted towards the logic. But we, in the Gaudiya Vaishnava lineage, accept Shruti, the knowledge through words coming down through disciplic succession as the method for understanding what is absolute truth. So, and that is why even though after writing the Mahabharata, after writing the Vedas, still sage Vedavyasa was not very in the best mood possible, because there sage Narada Muni says that because the the pastimes of Krishna and the glories of Krishna need to be more directly described. And hence, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the most authoritative among the scriptures, the Garuda Purana clearly says that, Arthoyam Brahma Sutrana. It says Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam is a natural commentary and of the Srimad, of the Vedanta Sutra. So now let's go to the last learning objective of the day. So we dealt with two learning objectives so far. One is, why is anyone and everyone are not authorized to write and comment about Vaishnava behavior, about Vaishnava etiquette, about establishment of temples and deities and procedures? So why can't anyone and everyone is not authorized to do that, and how that can be harmful to the society? The second learning objective that we did was, what does the word evidence or pramana mean? So why does Mahaprabhu says that there has to be evidence for what needs to be written? So why does he not just say that, you know, because I am saying so, you can write it? Because, and so why does he say that there has to be evidence that need to be given? So the last thing that learning objective, what we're going to see is, so we first, the second learning objective is, what is evidence? That is, what is the various ways of getting evidence? So we spoke about pratyaksha, anumana, shabda, and the different other things which Baladeva Vidyabhushana had cited. Now let us see, why is evidence from scriptures required? That's the last. So that's the last part of this learning objective of what Mahaprabhu says here. Why do we need evidence from scriptures? So here, Mahaprabhu specifically used the word Purana. He didn't say Shastra, but he said Purana. And in the previous verses, of course, he has said Shastra. So not reading too much into it, but then we'll also see what Puranas say. So it's not like Puranas are some kind of like a subsidiary thing. So because it is stated in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, so the similar verse you can also find in the Chandogya Upanishad. So if you see the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it says, Yasya mahato bhutyasya niswasi tam yethadya krigvedo vedo yajurvedo samavedo atarva angirasa itihasa puranam ityadina. So it means, he says there again, oh Maitreya, so he's addressing to, it's been Maitreya Muni, he's been addressed there. He says the Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, Atharva Veda. So all these, as well as the itihasas, the Puranas, itihasas, that is the Ramayana, Mahabharata, and the Puranas, they are all manifest from the breathing of the Lord. So this is there in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, in 2.4.10. So there it says, Rigveda, Yajurveda, Sama, Atharva, Angirasa, Itihasa, Puranam, Ityadina. So all these, so the Puranas are mentioned directly in the Upanishad to say that all these are the different limbs and they're being manifest from the breathing of the Lord. So, and Prabhupada actually says this in a court, you have both learned lawyers, so you have a prosecutor and then you have a defense attorney. So they both are quoting from the same law book. But so that means, but that is not the solution to the case, because they both are citing the law. But the determination of the case is a judgment of the presiding judge. So an argument cannot bring us to a conclusion. So just because both the attorneys are going to be speaking based on the same law book, but it's not going to bring to a conclusion. So that means that the scriptural quotations also for a beginner who's not able to see the light of it in terms through the eyes through a spiritual master, they might even find those statements contradictory. That every philosopher, they'll say, oh, this is my opinion, that's my opinion. So because of this, there are different ways of putting forward a thesis. And so, and then, and the goal there, my, you know, whether it's to, whether the, for the person to become a famous philosopher, so it is therefore very difficult to arrive at the conclusion. Therefore, it is said here that to accept the judgment of the authority, we need to have an authority. And our authority here is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is non-different from Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself says, so whenever we have any doubt, what is it that needs to be done, we need to see what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Krishna, and whatever he says is the authority. And what is he saying here is to look at this, look at, quote anything, write anything based on scriptures, based on evidence. So that means a person who acts exactly according to the, who acts exactly according to the tenets of the scriptures, they're called Shastra Chakshu. Shastra Chakshu means that one who sees through the eyes of the authorized scriptures. So we pluck out our own material eyes and have the eyes of the scriptures, actually, as any man of knowledge and experience should see everything through the scriptures. So this verse here on, which is where Mahaprabhu here is telling Sanatana Goswami, so the same kind of verse you can also see in Adi Leela in 7.48. In chapter 7, verse 48, there's a similar statement here. Again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructing Sanatana Goswami on the base, where he says, on the basis of scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, which reveal these confidential directions, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami regarding all the regular activities of a devotee. So we can find a match of this statement here in this chapter on the Atmarama verse, where Sanatana Goswami is being instructed by Mahaprabhu to quote evidence. A similar verse is there in the Adi Leela, where, again, I'll repeat that, on the basis of scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, which reveal these confidential directions, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami regarding all the regular activities of a devotee. That means in the Parampara system, the instructions taken from a bona fide spiritual master must also be based on revealed scriptures. So it's not like even though a spiritual master is coming in the lineage, it still needs to be based on revealed scriptures. One who is in the line of disciplic succession cannot manufacture by his own way of behavior. So Prabhupada says, yase deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha guru. So he says the real import, or this is from Shvetashvata Upanishad, the real import of scriptures is revealed to one who has unflinching faith in both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Spiritual Master. So that means, that's why Narottama Das Thakur, he advises, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya. So the meaning of the instruction is that one must consider the instructions of the Sadhu, the revealed scriptures and the Spiritual Master. So there are two things here. One is the revealed scriptures and the other is the Spiritual Master. The Spiritual Master does not deviate from the revealed scriptures. So both, so we need to understand that part in order to understand the real purpose of spiritual life. So neither a Sadhu, Sadhu means a Vaishnava, a saintly person or a bona fide spiritual master, says anything that is beyond the scope of the sanction of the revealed scriptures. We have to see what is sanctioned by the revealed scriptures. The Vaishnava does not say a word beyond what is sanctioned by the revealed scriptures. Thus, the statements of the revealed scriptures correspond to those of the bona fide spiritual master and the saintly persons. So it is vice versa. The scriptures correspond to those which are said by the Mahajanas, and the same way the Mahajanas say exactly what is there in scriptures, they go hand in hand. So one must therefore act with a reference to an important understanding which is actually given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote 10 axioms, and it's called Dasamula Nirnaya. So where he says, he cites the Vedic scriptures, and then he says on the he gives 9 aspects of wisdom there. So there he says, chanting the holy name of the Lord along with his form and beauty. So what is most important here is scriptures. When we understand, when we chant, when we understand the qualities of the Lord, when we understand the pastimes of Krishna, when we understand the beauty of, when we see, when we want to understand the beauty of Krishna. So all these things have to be done in accordance with scripture. So you cannot say, okay, I've been chanting, and then I just thought, and then come up with some kind of mental speculation of the activities and the pastimes of Krishna, because it has to be done through scriptures. So he says, in accordance with scriptures, then it may be considered. So in that way, what we do is called ritualistic devotion, or called as Vaidhi Bhakti. So in this way, there is a constant practice of such devotional service, and there is awakening of devotional ecstasy is eventually attained. So from Vaidhi Bhakti, one eventually moves towards Raghanuga Bhakti. So in this consideration, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there is no need for spiritual reasoning. So this is why the Gaudiya Vaishnavas distinctly differ from those who are placing heavy weightage on logic, because many, many things are not understandable to us. So that means that we need to understand there is scriptural reasoning. There's no need for scriptural reasoning here. I'm not talking here something called blind faith and all, but the only qualification that's actually needed here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, is the urge to offer devotional service. You need that urge, that sincere urge that I want to offer devotional service to Krishna. So he says, and so there are So there, and based on this, so there is Vaidhi Bhakti, and then there is all this, and then there is, that is what is being discussed in this verse. So Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatana Goswami to pursue this path here of explaining about the regulative devotional service for the benefit of humanity. And this is what we call as Abhidheya, Abhidheya Tattva. So there are three, so instructions given to Sanatana Goswami here are under the second aspect here. So the Vedanta Sutra, there are four chapters in the Vedanta Sutra, and they deal with, the first chapter is basically an introduction, and the subsequent chapters, they basically give, talk about the three subject matters respectively. So one is about sambandha. What is the relationship of the individual soul with that of the with that of Bhagavan? So to understand that, so that is called Brahmeti Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti Shatayate. So so this is to understand that relationship, that is badanti tatvidam tatvam jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shakti. To understand that relationship, that is the subject matter called sambandha. And the second aspect that, which is discussed in the Vedanta Sutra is called Abhidheya. And that is the aspect which Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatana Goswami here. And the last aspect is the goal of all this, which is called as a Prayojana. And for us, the for the Gaudiya Vaishnava, Sambandha, the deity associated with that is Srila Radha Madan Mohan. So, Chayatam Surato Pangor Mama Mandanateer Gathi Mata Sarvasva Pahadam Bojo Radha Madan Mohano. So, we offer obeisance to the all merciful Sri Radha Madan Mohan, and I am and saying that so and so we surrender unto them, understand the relationship between the individual soul, what is matter, what is soul, what is Krishna, what is Brahman, what is Paramatma, what is Bhagavan. To understand this relationship, so we offer obeisance unto Madan Mohan. But this verse is about the process of how things need to be done, and the deity associated with this word, with the process is Srila Radha Govinda Dev. So Divyad Vrindaranya Kalpadrumadha Srimad Ratnagara Simhasanastho Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Praishtalabihi Sriyam Manav Smarami. So in the Vrindavan, there is a temple there, Sri Radha Govinda Dev, even though the actual deity right now has been moved to Jayapur after the invasion of foreigners, and then so the most confidential associates, so Srila Radha Govinda Dev, they sit on the effulgent throne, so we offer obeisance unto them and understand about this Abhideya. And the last one is the goal of all this, which is Prayojana, Sriman, Radha Rasarambi, Vamsivata, Tatastitaha, Krishan Venu, Sunair Gopi, Gopinatha, Shriyatata. So we offer obeisance unto Srila Radha Gopinath. So the Gopinath is who originated, so the transcendental mellow of Rasa, the Rasa dance. He stands on the Vamsi Vata, and so he is the goal of all our spiritual pursuits, and so we offer our obeisance unto him. So Abhideya here means to engage in the nine process of the devotional service, and with the knowledge, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, so he cites this, so where he says that Abhideya means to engage in the nine process of devotional service with the knowledge and detachment. So, how do we approach this? Radha Govinda Dev is the Abhidheya Murti, and Rupa Goswami is the Abhidheya Guru. So, in this age of Kali, so what we understand by scripture. So, what do the scriptures say? The conclusion of the scriptures, so Jiva Goswami, he tells us, how do we understand what a scripture says? Okay, so what a scripture says? Before I go to the conclusion of the scriptures, I want to say, what did Sanatana Goswami do after hearing all this from Mahaprabhu? So he had actually written some wonderful books. One is called as the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, and then there is another book called Hari Bhakti Vilasa, where a lot of it was also done with the help and compilation by Gopala Bhatta Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami followed the instructions here of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He heard exactly from Mahaprabhu what needs to be written, and in the very first verse of Hari Bhakti Vilasa, Sanatana Goswami, what does he say? He says, Chaitanya Devam Bhagavantam Ashraya. sardham samahritaya samasta shastratah. So there he talks about the shastra. So here whatever Mahaprabhu says, he puts that as a very first verse in the Hari Bhakti Vilasa. So he says, as reflecting on what activities must be performed with the help of the devotees and collecting many quotes from scriptures. That's what he says. And collecting, so Sanatana Goswami is collecting many quotes from scriptures, and he says that Sanatana Goswami, that is, I write this book, that is, Sanatana Goswami is writing this book of Hari Bhakti Vilasa for the devotee's pleasure as he takes shelter of Lord Chaitanya Deva. So that is, so, and you can also see that in many, many places in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where we can see that when Mahaprabhu is talking with Ramananda Rai, he's also saying, he's asking many questions to Ramananda Rai. So, but all these questions, Mahaprabhu, many, if you see the questions, he says, what, cite a verse from scripture. What does the scripture say? Many of those, and Ramananda Rai is also not answering those questions based on mental speculations. He cites from scriptures in different places. So that means it is there throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita how things have to be done by citing and acting based on scriptures. So the last thing I want to say before I end this discussion on this Chaitanya Charitamrita verse is for us to basically understand what is it that the scriptures say, because we said there are over 1,000 Brahmanas, Aryankas, Upanishads, Samhitas, there are so many Puranas, and then you have the Mahabharata itself is running over 96,000 verses. If you look at the Bhagavatam, so it's running for 18,000 verses. So what is it that we are supposed to be knowing? Are we supposed to be reading all these scriptures to understand and act based on that? So, and even how do we even understand? So even the great, many, many philosophers, they have understood the scriptures and interpreted in different ways, and then they have written commentaries. So how are we to even understand? So here we understand from Tattva Sandarbha of Jiva Goswami, where he says, how is it that one needs to understand how a scripture works? So from Tattva Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami says, if you want to understand scripture, then you see what is stated in the beginning of the scripture, what is stated at the as the last verse, at the end of the scripture, and what is that being stated repeatedly again and again by the author to understand the And then you see what is the intention of the author. What is it that the author is intending to say before coming up with some kind of mental concoctions? So I will end this by saying that the very last verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam will tell you how important is the Krishna Nama Sankirtan, the glories of the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. So the importance of, so based on what Jiva Goswami says here, the very first verse, the Gayatri Mantra, which is in the Bhagavatam, and then the very last verse, what does the very last verse say? It says, Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Namamo Dukkha Shamanaha Tam Namami Harim Param. So this Krishna Nama Sankirtan, that the chanting of the holy names of Krishna is mentioned as the very, after all the 18,000 verses, the very last verse is that Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Namamo Dukkha Shamanaha Tam Namami Harim Param. So if you want to absolve yourself of all sinful reactions and get out of all the threefold miseries, the method to do is Krishna Nama Sankirtan. So that is the importance of the scripture. So when we say that, when we say Chetodarpana Marjanam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, that all glories unto the holy names of Krishna, Krishna Nama Sankirtan. So we are basing everything based on scriptures. So that is the summary of this translation. There was no purport in this. So we just had to base the discussion on the translation. But there were so many verses before and after which helped guide the path of this discussion. So it's over 10:52 now. So I will stop there and offer obeisance unto all the Vaishnavas assembled here and open this for discussion. Vancha Kalpatra Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitana Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah. Thank you so much. Dandavat Pranam. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure hearing this class. Thank you for flooding us with such wonderful, wonderful nectar and talking about Ramana and so many things. I think you pretty much covered everything about our Siddhanta in one class. It was very beautiful. Thank you so much. And I know you were trying to say about the under, how would you defeat someone who's talking about maybe some other Purana, in terms of if it's a, if it was a Rajasika Purana or a Tamasika Purana and anything else. So was the thing from the Tattva Sandarbha the answer to that? Just see what is there in the beginning, in the end, and see what is repeated, and that should give you the message of that particular scripture. So is that how we understand that part? I mean, I hope you got my question.
Thank you, Mataji, for your kind words. And what is, I understood most of what you said. What did you say about the Rajasic, Tamasic Puranas? I didn't understand.
So my question was, if supposing someone is quoting from one of the Tamasika Puranas or the Rajasika Puranas and saying this is the Pramana, we can't take it as the Veda Pramana, right? So then how? What are some points that we can say to defeat it?
So there are a couple of here, Mataji. So the first thing is, the different Puranas, they're all required for people at different levels of spiritual understanding. So
right.
That means that there are people who are at that level. They are not going. They are not going to be at this level of renunciation. The vairagya vidya nijapati yoga. At this vairagya, the renunciation that is required in the Vaishnava principle, by the Vaishnava sampradayas, to be able to take up that, and so those Puranas are required for them. So that's for the first. The second point is that you're right that on the basis of those scriptures, the Puranas that are dealing with the mode of passion, mode of ignorance, many of them deal with many material, many things in the material realm, and they are meant to get different. They're meant for. They have a different goal, prayojana, in all those. Purana. So historically we can see that among the different demons who have approached the different in the Rajasic mode, in the Tamasic mode, and so on, we can see how they all have a different goal, and they have a different need, and they're meant for a different audience. Maybe at some point of time they might get to the principles enunciated in the Bhagavatam. So the third is about this concept of being able so that the others become Vaishnava as well. And here, there is a very important aspect there, which Mahaprabhu also cites. No matter how much we cite.
Sorry, Paul. Did we lose
you? Oh, sorry. You are able to hear, Mataji? Sorry, yes. I accidentally pressed the mute button. So you're able to hear now?
Yes, Prabhu.
Okay, I'm so sorry. So I don't know what is it that I said last before I pressed the mute button, but do you know what I said last, Mataji? Because I don't know when I pressed the mute button. So.
No, you were telling about the demons, and then material platform.
So those scriptures also, they have different goals. They have different material goals. And then you have the Upapuranas, which are pursued. There are even those pursued by the Shaktas. They have different goals, and hence the third part is convincing those who are not Vaishnavas to understand, because Vancha Kalpatribhyascha Kripasindubhye, which is, so the Vaishnavas are always looking forward so that people get over the material existence. But in the ultimate, even despite all the scriptural quoting, finally Krishna, as the super soul, as Kshirodhaka Sai Vishnu, who is present in everybody's heart, it is the super soul as Krishna, he needs to convince the individual's heart. So that means that one has to unless one feel, if the person feels that we have the genuine love and interest in them, maybe it is, despite quoting many scriptures, it might be very hard. That's like the third aspect to that. And the fourth thing is, like, even those scriptures, when you, if you, there is no point, Madhvacharya has clearly cited there in his in many of his work that that we don't need to go into those Tamasic Puranas and Rajasic Puranas, because they're going to have mixed messages, and they're all meant for people at a certain level to uplift them, so that at maybe in one of the future lifetimes they can get to the platform, or even in the same lifetime by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. So does it answer somewhat,
yes,
Mataji?
Yes. Very nice, Prabhu. And yes, Madhvacharya quote as well, as you mentioned. Thank you very much. Very, very beautiful class, very clear. And it was a very wonderful explanation, and we're really looking forward to you speaking more on Chaitanya Charitamrita. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Thank you, Mataji. Venerable Pranam, Mataji. Thank you for your kind words.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Venerable Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Prabhuji, I'm coming and doing this. It's really very nice, and a lot of explanation and clear explanation. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your assistance.
Thank you, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much. Thank you for being so kind. Hare Krishna.
Anybody has any problem? Question? Okay. Thank you very much, Prabhu, for your very
interesting
class today. And we are very grateful to you. We look forward to
thank your
appreciation again in the future. If nobody has any question, can we end the call here? Yes?
Yes, ma'am.
Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam to your sincere seva, Prabhuji. How nicely you narrating the class, Prabhuji. Thank you very much, Dandavat Pranam. Hare Krishna.